It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we're wondering where the Bears' offense is, especially after the thrilling finish against Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's defense, we know where they're at, and that will be on full display tonight.
All of their offense this year, all of it, other than the first two quarters against the Giants, it's all been smoke and mirrors. It's all been against defenses that took their foot off the gas. And as I described last year, it happened a bunch, but those teams that they did it against are so good, they were able to put their foot back on the throat and execute the win. The Lions couldn't do that. The Falcons couldn't do it because they're not the Packers and they're not the Saints from last year. Period. End of story. It's all smoke and mirrors. It makes you feel better about things, but it shouldn't.
We should thank our lucky stars are 3-1 because, I mean, yes, they should be 1-3 at minimum. And I know they are who your record says you are. But again, remember, the Bears were at a 0.1% chance to win the Detroit game, and they were in the same situation against Atlanta. Those were miracle wins that you normally don't ever get in a season. Yeah. And they got two in the first 3 weeks.
You know, also, I mean, listen, I'm just an old guy, but I'm also old school, and I'm not dismissing the importance of the quarterback. It's the most important position in all of professional sports. But if you look around the National Football League after the first month, all of the good teams can do what? Offensively. They block. The Bills have a good offensive line. The Patriots always have a good offensive line. The Steelers. Even the Browns. The Browns are kicking people's ass running the football. There's a coach, Kevin Stefanski, who took what he had, protected his quarterback, tried to take some of the whatever away from him, and they're running an offense that fits them. The Titans' offensive line is good. The Colts' offensive line is good. The Chiefs' offensive line is good. The Raiders' offensive line is good. The Eagles, when they're healthy, their offensive line is good. The one thing that the Packers, I think, has made them be better than I thought was their offensive line is playing well. The Saints have a good offensive line. You look across the board, and a lot of these offenses that are succeeding, it goes beyond the quarterback. It's also about having an offensive line that you can trust to run behind and also a line that you can trust to protect your quarterback. Like, I think it was a false sense of security what we saw from this group in the first two games. In fact, go back to 2018, and that's the last time you really felt good about that line. They ran for 1,900 yards, and they protected their quarterback. When Kyle Long was healthy and the guys were a little bit younger, that offensive line was beyond acceptable. Last year and so far this year, no, it's not good enough.
It's a really good point. I want to play you Matt Nagy. So as long as we are talking about the quarterback, this was Matt Nagy today, right, Black, about
yes.
him saying, why do you think that Nick Foles is the right guy?
Just his experiences have been there, done that. It's comforting to know that when you go through those situations, I mean, you're not, there's no concern like, oh no, here, you know, here's an issue or here's this or here's that. We don't have that. We really don't. We have to find solutions to how on third down, what are the whys, you know, like, is it execution? Is it schematics? You know, when are they happening? Are there 10, any of that stuff? And then once you do that, that's one of his biggest strengths is that he's just got a lot of calmness to him and he doesn't get too panicked about any of that stuff. And it permeates and spreads through the rest of the team.
He's a journeyman, but I think that speaks volumes when you compare who the previous quarterback was.
It's all about trust. I mean, you could hear it in his voice.
Trust.
It's trust. He used the word comfort. Did he use comfortable or he used the word comfort in a certain way? Like, this is why I think we all thought that it was going to be Nick from the start. Laser, Juan Castillo, Flip, Matt. What do they all have in common?
They all coached him.
They trust him. They probably know he's not. They obviously know he's not an upper echelon quarterback, but they trust him. We play really good defense. We'll try to run the football. He won't make catastrophic mistakes. We'll be average on offense, and we'll roll. He'll be a bridge to the future. I'm not telling you that's how I'm just telling you, if you ask me to predict what their mindset was, there's a comfort level that they have with him. Regardless of where his ceiling is, they're comfortable with him.
All right, so the Colts, we know, are a lot like the Bears as far as they're not going to score a ton of points. Like you were saying about, you know, their offense, they have a much, much better line and more of a commitment to the run. But again, what are they going to do through the air? And so, but this week, Thursday, Brady comes to town with that hot offense in the second half of the game, and they're starting to click. So Matt Nagy was asked today, how can you compete against some of these high-scoring teams?
No, that's definitely the trend. You're seeing that. I think you're seeing it because there's zero home field advantage as we go here. So probably I'll start off with just saying run game. Let's get the run game going. Let's understand where we can get with that. Let's get some chunk plays out of the run game, which will help the pass game. And then we just didn't have a lot of opportunities yesterday in the red zone. So when you're down there, you got to come away with touchdowns. But we have to be able to score more than, obviously, 11 points. That's not going to do it. At any game. So whatever that is, we need to come up with answers and figure it out. And I feel really good about our players. I feel good about our coaches. We're sitting at 3-1 right now. After four games to be at 3-1, no matter who we play and how they come, that's where we're at. So we feel like we can certainly get a lot better. And if we do that, then hopefully we can become a team that that puts it all together at the right time.
I don't know if he truly believes what he says about the running the football. Like, we have
he
all
says
of
says it, but he doesn't mean it.
Right, and we have all the funny clips from last year. Did you see the Colts game? All that other stuff. I know I'm not an idiot. I know we need to run the football. He just said it again. How many carries did David Montgomery have yesterday? 10. How many did they? How many times did they run the football? 16 times total.
I'm with you.
I get it. I get it. They were trailing. But they were never trailing by more than two scores. That offense was not going to get away from you from the Colts. I also get it. Like, you try to run the football and your line's getting mauled by the other side, you're going to have to find some creative ways to continue to try and run the football. And you're also going to have to ask that offensive line. Everybody's been paid.
What was
everybody.
It?
Everybody but Daniels.
What
right?
did I say?
Everybody's been paid.
I'm totally with you.
And Ifedi's on a one-year deal. I mean, it's
okay,
just,
but you brought him in.
It's a patchwork offensive line. You drafted two interior linemen that you like. But again, the two outside, the two guys, the studs that you're supposed to have at left tackle and right tackle are journeymen. One's a seventh-round pick. Another guy came from the Cardinals.
But you paid them.
Good.
You paid them.
Yeah, and you paid them.
I mean,
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
Houston,
zero thought of throwing the football. Zero thought of running the football.
Houston was way too much for Charles Leno Jr. to handle yesterday.
You understand me?
I do. If you tell me you're going to run the football, you have to run it more than 16 times.
Did I just say that?
I hope so.
You say it, but you don't show
that's
us,
my
coach.
Point.
That's why. What, coach,
I'm with
why
you.
Don't you stick with the run?
I'm with you.
Okay, well, you just said that.
Here's their problem as well, Sylvie.
I want to continue to talk to Coach.
And when they know you're running the football, you lose 3 or 4 yards.
I don't know how good they're going to be running the football from the shotgun. Like, when they were running the ball, albeit against a lesser front seven, they were running more out of quarterback under center. Like, I don't know how comfortable they are running the football from the shotgun. And that's, you're probably going to get significantly more shotgun from Nick Foles because that's where he's comfortable. I don't know how it affects their running game. All I do know is in a game that you were never trailing by more than two scores, you only ran it 16 times.
Coach, do you agree with what Waddle just had to say?
Did you happen to watch a Colts game yesterday?
I did, unfortunately.
Oh, stinky poopy.
It's really the same but different.
See, now again, this is where I'm saying to you, it's coaching and it's execution. Like I said earlier, I don't want Cordero Patterson in the backfield at 3rd-and-1. That's why you drafted David Montgomery. He's right. A fall forward back. Put him back there. But he would have gotten hit in the backfield as well because your offensive line could not move anybody.
It's so cute when Cordero Patterson's back there.
This is a sport where you win or you lose.
You lost yesterday, and you scored like 11 points.
3.
I'm with you.
I'm with Carm. 3.
It's really the same but different.
They scored 3 points, really.
I mean, watch that. Tell me tomorrow.
They had 6 points going into what? The fourth quarter in Detroit? Isn't that right?
Yes. That's when they, like you said, smoke and mirrors and the game plans haven't worked.
Do you know through 4 weeks, their offense is averaging 343 yards and 21 points per game. That ranks them 24th and 25th, respectively.
Not good enough.
All of those yards are fool's gold.
Right, right. And that's the worst part about it. They're still bad with the fool's gold yards. Doc in Flossmoor, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Doc.
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's up?
So I want to talk about, I hear Leno is horrific, if that's a real word. I saw him in his stands, and he just let the dude go inside of him without even getting a hand on him.
Leno, did you say? Like, Doc, did you say Leno?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a bad day.
But nobody mentioned, I've been listening to the show for hours, Cody Whitehair, oh my God, is he undersized? Or what? I've seen him get blew back like two or three times right into the quarterback's feet.
James Daniels had the same problem, Doc. I mean, in the interior of their offensive line was mauled.
Yeah, one more thing I want to say. I don't think that running back, our running back, feel comfortable running the ball out of the shotgun. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, Doc, that's what I was saying earlier, is I think that he found a little rhythm running with the quarterback under center in the first couple of games. Again, it was against lesser front sevens, but I just don't know how good, and we thank you for the call, Doc, I don't know how good they're going to be able to run the football from the formations that they're finding themselves in with the quarterback change.
Jake in Winnetka, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jake?
Sylvie, how are we doing? Congratulations on the remission. Everybody's glad to hear the news.
Jake, thank you. I appreciate everything.
Of course. I'm calling in to talk about Nagy, guys. I'm really upset with the way he coached that game. And frankly, I think it was a huge reflection and mirror image of what we saw last year. We had 2 points against the Saints last year in the first half before Cardale ran one back. We put up three against the Chiefs. The guy says he's going to make changes. We get Foles. You go out and you get the tight end you want. And then we obviously, Allen Robinson seems like he's a much improved player. And it's the exact same thing. I mean, what can we expect? Even if we did draft Deshaun Watson, how good would he be? Would he be getting that same contract? In this offense, I don't even know how good he would be. I don't know how good anybody could be, frankly.
Well, he'd be better. Better than what we
have. I'd take my chance.
I mean, it's fair.
I would take the chances, too. But it's still, I mean, how good would he be? This offense is jaw-locked, and Foles couldn't do it, and neither could Mitch. Whose fault is it?
Well, again, like, that's why I get it. Everything, like, Waddle says about the O-line, so true. You got to be strong up front. About the play calling, I get it. But we're talking about Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. It's probably the worst combination going forward of any quarterback tandem in the league. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're not talking about Russell Wilson. We're certainly not even talking about the middle of the pack guys these days. We're talking about one of the worst duos going forward. We're so bad that we've got to activate Tyler Bray so we get the right communication. Think about that.
You know, I went and looked at the Jimmy Graham deal as well. Do you realize that based on this site, he is the eighth highest paid tight end for 2020?
That's right. They rushed to the store. It was like just when this new, you know, when the new iPhone comes out, but the new iPhone has all the great bells and whistles. It's got all the new everything, capability, storage, whatever. But dude, you rushed out for like the iPhone 3.
I gotta say,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you paid top iPhone money for something that was like out of style 5 years ago.
Again, and it's a tight end centric offense, and Jimmy has value in the red zone. But like, I don't know why you drafted Cole Kmet. He's a better athlete at this point. Maybe they see something in practice that we don't see practice. But my goodness, I'm so sick of watching 5 yard stick routes I could puke.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I'm so sick of this I could puke. You fill in the blank like Waddle just did. We'll take your calls next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Andre Triplett tweets the show, and he says, I'm so sick of the David Montgomery love, I could puke. He doesn't run away from anyone. He's not fast. He's Jordan Howard 2.0. It's time to realize it.
I don't think he's an elite runner, but I kind of like what I've seen this year. I think it's hard to bring him down with one hit. He falls forward.
Yurko was talking about this, too, again, and Yurko's continued to point this out for years on this radio station, and it's what you've mentioned, Waddle, about the line, that you win when the running game most of the time with the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, give him a hole, at least, to get through for the first wave, and like Black said earlier, he keeps getting hit right at the line of scrimmage. He'll break you some tackles if you can open some holes eventually, but he can't do it on his own.
Listen, when he was at Iowa State, I think he led the nation in broken tackles, right?
He did. He's very good at that.
And I think you've seen instances of that at the NFL level. I'd be hard to downgrade him based on who he's running behind right now. And even with what you saw yesterday, I still believe, isn't he averaging better than 4.5 yards per carry? Dave Montgomery, I'm sorry, he's now averaging 4.1 yards per carry. But
I don't know why you have to split the carries so much. He got better as the game went on against Atlanta. I think he's one of those backs that you need to keep feeding it to see his best stuff, too.
I thought the offensive line played poorly against the Falcons and played even worse against the Colts.
Zach in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Zach. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Boy, this is Groundhog Day, right? Every time we come in on Monday.
Not every time, but for many years, this has been the same discussion. You're right.
So the thing is, we're looking on the opposite end of the O-line, and the Colts have maybe the best guard in the game in Quentin Nelson, who is Quentin Nelson's college coach, Harry Highstand. We're coming in off of running out of shotgun, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you it sure looked a lot like Juan Castillo's offensive line looked the same out of shotgun running the ball as Harry Highstand's offensive line did. Waddle's been saying it a couple of times now. You start off the first games of the season, you've practiced all off season running the ball out of center with the quarterback under center. As soon as you switch to Nick Foles, you go back to shotgun, and you don't give your offensive line any help whatsoever to get off the ball, to drive guys off the line, and to then get into the second line of the defense. I understand that the Colts are a great run defensive team, but you can't keep talking about how you have an offensive identity and immediately abandon it the first time you get to do the thing that you want to do, especially when that thing keeps failing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fair. It's very fair. Look, again, I'm with you. The first couple games of the season, they were predominantly in Mitch under center. There was obviously some shotgun stuff, but you saw them under center more than you did in 2018 and 19. And I thought that...
Because they don't want him to read the defense and check out of a play.
Right.
That's
why. But I also think it helps the running game, and it does help the passing game because then you can throw the ball off a lot of run action. Well, when Nick Foles, who's more comfortable surveying the field from the shotgun, I'd like to ask a defensive guy how much less you respect the run when you're facing an offense that is more likely to be in shotgun than they are with a quarterback under center. And to establish a running game, are you then relying on scheme? Are you relying on trickery? Or what are you relying on to actually get your running game going when the running back is basically standing even with you in the backfield?
We should get a former player play defense.
Yeah, where's your go at?
Yeah. He works at
I know, I'd like to ask him. I'd like to ask him that question. If it's easier to defend a running game where a lot of the runs come out of the shotgun versus a quarterback that's under center.
Andy New Lennox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Sylvie, congrats. Great news. Was very happy to hear about that. So shout out to you for all your hard work and setting a good example for everyone else who might have to deal with this. I just wanted to say that an analogy that I use constantly to describe Matt Nagy is that he was basically, if I was to hire you, Waddle, to come and cut my front lawn, I only gave you a toothbrush, you'd be like, man, this is going to be hard to get this whole grass cut. I mean, it's going to be hard to do the job.
Especially with a toothbrush. There's no cutting device on a toothbrush.
Well, so that's what I mean. So it's, that's a very difficult job. But then I come along and I give you a pair of scissors. You know, they're hair-cutting scissors. Okay. It's not the best, but you know, with a couple adjustments, you'll probably be able to get the job done.
Okay.
That's how I feel about Matt Nagy. Why are we not making adjustments? The only adjustments we saw was that he put him in shotgun. Other than that, I mean, it was the same sort of song and dance as it was with Mitch in there. So I'm saying, I understand that it's a very difficult job. That's why I'm saying, like, even if you're going to have scissors and you have to cut my whole lawn, it's going to take you a while, and it's going to be a very difficult job to do. You might not get it done. But if you are a smart person, and I don't want to say he's not a smart guy, but a logical person, a logical thinker would think, maybe if I made a couple adjustments, maybe if I use this scissors, Nick Foles, in a different way than I used my toothbrush, Mitch Trubisky, then maybe I would have better results. So that's,
wait a minute. Hold on, Andy. What about, what if Matt Nagy counters your analogy by saying, you're right about the analogy, but it's about the tools. The tools,
give me
that
a
I've
damn
having,
lawnmower.
Yeah, like, well, I've got an old Jimmy Graham, and I've got a guy in Cole Kmet that we don't trust yet, and Riley really not good enough to get on the field. Javon Williams is tall, but he's a guy. Like,
okay, but I would say, and then I would say to him, I would say, well, then, Matt Nagy, you are in the wrong business, because not everything's going to be perfect. If I hire somebody to cut my lawn, even with the proper equipment, and they're like, oh, well, I have never done this before, I don't know how to do this, I'd be like, well, then you're probably signing up for the wrong job. So if Matt Nagy can't make it work with scissors, then he's going to have to figure out something else to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't understand. Like, that's not really an excuse. I get what you guys are saying. They're not great offensively, even if they have a great quarterback. Like, they would probably be better, but they're not a great offensive unit. But at some point, you have to realize that, you know what, maybe if I could make some adjustments and cater this to the scissors, then maybe, you know, I'd have a better chance of getting this job done, even if it is impossible.
Andy, I like your analogy for the following reason. It's why I was complimentary of what Matt did the first couple weeks of the season. He identified what Mitch was good at and what he wasn't that good at. And he tried to protect him. Under center, we're going to run the football. We're going to stick with running the ball. And then we're going to run a lot of our plays, our passing plays, off of run action. Well, what has Matt always wanted to do since he got here, Sylvie? He wants to run his offense.
Yes.
And he's found out over the course of the last couple years that he doesn't trust Mitch to run his offense. So when he finally got a guy, albeit a guy that's got a ceiling, that he trusts to run his offense, what did you see him do on Sunday, yesterday, against a really good defense? He tried to run his offense. To Andy's point, well, he's got a huddle full of toothbrushes and not enough hair scissors. So, you know, like I said to you yesterday.
But the problem stems from Ryan Pace gave him a Toyota Camry, an old one, to cut the grass.
Yes.
And Toyota Camrys, old models, can't cut the grass.
That's right, but what Andy's saying is right. Matt's got to be more resourceful now and understand that he's waited 3 years now to run his offense with a guy he trusts. Unfortunately, he doesn't have Kansas City or Philadelphia personnel. So what is he going to have to do with Nick now going forward? You can't run your pure quote-unquote offense. You're going to have to tweak it because you don't have the personnel, and that was on display against one of the league's better defenses yesterday. So you're going to have to adjust the same way you adjusted with Mitch. You asked him to play under center more. Mitch did nothing but sit in the shotgun in college, didn't he? You've asked him to change.
Behind Marquise.
That's a good point. Well played. That's your best line of the day. That was a good one. My point to what Andy is saying is, now Matt's got to adjust. Okay, we saw you tried to run your offense against a really good defense. How did it look? 3 points. I'm not telling you to completely go away from your offense, but you better tweak it. You better tweak it, or else you're going to see, against better defenses, you're going to see more of the same, because you don't have the personnel to run the offense that you truly want to run. And again, listen, every Christmas morning, I wanted to wake up and have more toys than anybody in the United States. I didn't. So you can't go to work every day and just will your offense to have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all of the other weapons. You can't go to work and just expect Zach Ertz to show up. So what you have to do is blend what you have talent-wise with the offense that you want to run. It's not going to be perfect. Hence the reason why the Bears' job was open. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, like,
I do, yeah,
you got to find a way to be a coach work, yeah. to make it work. That's why I said earlier, this is a personnel issue and a coach issue. Had Matt Nagy gotten more from his personnel guy, he would have to do less adjusting. He didn't, so now it's on him to adjust.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Lots of analogies in the first hour and a half of the show. Woo! We'll also have some fun inside Waddle's world. Theo Epstein spoke today. Did he really give us any answers from the breaking news the Cap had over the weekend? We'll start there, and we'll have some fun inside Waddle's world.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you're here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Oh, yeah. This is Waddle's World. It's brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Sylvie mentioned this before we went to break. Theo Epstein did, in fact, talk today. Talked about transitioning from the Cubs after next season. Talked about shaking up the team's core after the team's quick playoff exit. It's certainly still the case there are no untouchables, Epstein said. Clearly some change is warranted and necessary. We have not performed up to our expectations offensively, and simply hoping for a better outcome moving forward doesn't seem like a thoughtful approach. Embracing some change, even significant change, is warranted. And we'll hear more from Theo at 4 o'clock. But were you surprised, just kind of briefly,
no,
by anything you heard today?
No. And I heard the first person I heard talk about possibly Theo leaving before his contract runs out was Pat Boyle on one of his podcasts on, I think this was back Tuesday or Wednesday. So shout out to PB. Cap had a story over the weekend. What Theo did basically, and I watched the whole press conference on Zoom live. I got Jesse shared his link. I don't know if that gets him in trouble or not.
Probably just did, yeah.
Yeah, but I was on the treadmill watching it happen. And the biggest thing to me was, is he said what his plans are and what the ownership's plans are is for him to fill out his contract one more year. He basically shut the door on any sort of extension, citing that 10-year rule that he's had.
Right.
But he also left the door open to leaving early because this Ricketts meeting hasn't happened. He would not close the door. He said, look, what's likely to happen is him overseeing the team like he is doing through 2021. But he left the door open to leaving the franchise early.
Listen, I know we're going to elaborate on this going forward a little bit later, I think at 4 o'clock, so in about 20 minutes. But the one thought I would have is they have a lot of things up in the air. If you've got a guy that may be leaving next year, do you want that guy making a decision about Javi Baez or Chris Bryant or other guys on your team if he's not going to be part of the organization? Now, we've seen other sports where I think at one point, was it Rod Graves, who was in the front office here with the Bears, was leaving?
Right, 98.
And was going to the Cardinals, I believe, to be their GM. By the way, Rod, such a great guy.
Maybe 97 that was.
Whatever it was, but the Bears allowed him to run the draft.
Right.
Now,
Jim Hendry did that too, don't forget. Jim Hendry was the one, I believe, who drafted Javi Baez on his way out the door.
But I think running the draft and deciding who to trade or give $200 million to are two entirely different issues.
Here's the difference, is that Theo and Jed, if Jed is the successor, they can lay out their plans now and do something cohesive.
That's fair.
Do you know what I mean? Where it's not like a new guy coming.
Right. So if the transition was from Theo making all the choices, so to speak, to Jed, they would have a common thought. And then
I guess
that you could sell that to Tom Ricketts that, hey, I may be leaving, but Jed's going to be here indefinitely, and we see eye to eye on all baseball issues.
So we'll play you some of the Theo stuff coming up at 4.
Did you see what impressed you yesterday from the National Football League? Was there anything that stood out to you?
Well, I could not believe the score of the Browns game. Like,
I was going to say the same
thing. Early in the fourth, and I know Dak came back and he threw for 500 yards, and I think Abdallah mentioned this too. The amount of points in that noon window when we didn't have any Bears to watch was crazy.
The Cleveland Browns scored 24 points in the second quarter, and the Dallas Cowboys scored 24 points in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, this game was filled with teams that scored 24 points in a single quarter. I'm with you. Baker Mayfield has been put into a position, I think, by his coach, Kevin Stefanski, that takes advantage of some of the things that he does well and limits him from some of the mistakes, self-inflicted mistakes he has been guilty of in the past. They ran the ball for 307 yards yesterday. I mean, they took the football and jammed it right down the throat of that Cowboy defense.
Two really capable guys.
And Nick Chubb is set to miss several weeks with an MCL injury. So, you know,
they've got Kareem Hunt to fill in.
Yes, but do you realize that Kareem Hunt wasn't even their leading rusher? He had 11 carries for 71 yards. D'Ernest Johnson led them with 13 carries for 95 yards.
And then how much did Odell have?
Odell had two carries for 73 yards.
Yeah, and that icing touchdown.
Yeah, that was I think that cost some of our friends in here some money.
Yeah, I thought he was getting a little too cute with the Odell play because it looked like he was going to get tackled.
I think Black and Abdallah felt the same way because I think they had like a 9 or 10 team teaser. They were 8 for 9, and the one loss was that.
Yeah, the moment Dak threw that pick, it was over. Wow. All they had to do was score a touchdown, kick the extra point.
Oh,
we would have been money.
Wow.
9-team teaser down the drain.
Did you guys see one of the...
What would that have paid really quick?
Quite a bit.
Probably, what, $500,
$600? It was nice.
Yeah.
Would have been good. And we told Waddle about this earlier, Sylvie. Like, the 8 games we hit all hit comfortably. Dak Prescott, get out of here.
The Giants believe
franchise quarterback, my butt.
He is, though. I mean...
Not yesterday.
Not in the teaser pool.
Did you see the fight after the game between the Rams and the Giants?
I did. That's some dirty laundry off the field.
Yeah, the Giants believe that they're saying that Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey threw the first punch in a post-game melee with Golden Tate. Isn't Jalen Ramsey the father of two kids?
Right. So he had
Golden Tate's sister, right?
Right. So Jalen Ramsey had a relationship with Golden Tate's sister.
Right.
And now they're no longer together.
But they had two kids together, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they went, Golden Tate, I think, went looking for him after the game or vice versa. I don't know. He was defending his sister. It was dirty laundry off the field.
Didn't Golden Tate at one point, was it this offseason, said we're going to have to, you know, we'll meet at some point on or off the field? He said something about that, but that got a little hairy yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. Devontae Adams, I guess, deleted his tweet
weird.
From earlier. It said he won't play against the Falcons tonight. I hope he plays because I got the Green Bay Packers.
Playing.
Oh, he's not.
He tweeted, Waddle, he tweeted, I heard this on Cap and Hoodie this morning, that not only did he tweet that he wasn't playing, but it was basically a shot. The reason he deleted
it says here, done everything I need to do and proved I'm ready, but I guess I don't know my body as well as others.
Yeah, so he's taking a shot at the Packers and whoever's saying that, hey, look, let's just take it easy for another week, and then he deleted it.
They're also without one of their other Lazar, aren't they? Aren't they without him as well tonight?
Yeah, he's been hurt, right?
I think he got hurt last week. I still have the Packers winning tonight, although the Falcons get back Julio Jones.
Okay, but we know they can't defend, and Aaron Rodgers has been great.
Yes.
Do you see the stat that in Dallas they've lost more games this year than the Packers have lost since what's-his-face left the Packers?
McCarthy?
Yeah, McCarthy has lost more games this year in 4 games than the Packers have lost. I think it's like 3 total the Packers have lost since he left.
Well, they've only lost 3 games. The Cowboys are 1-3. And remember last year.
That's my point. Yeah, they went 13-3, and they went they're undefeated so far this year.
That is correct. They did get beat in the NFC title game against the 49ers, but we're talking regular season games. Chargers running back Austin Eckler is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. I saw that play happen. That was not fun to watch. Had a hamstring injury and a hyperextended knee. Titans have no new positive COVID-19 tests.
Well, it's about
first time in a long time. Were you surprised that the Patriots are going to play this game tonight?
Yes, I did. Because can't some people still test positive in the coming day?
You could get a negative test today,
right? In the 10 to 14 days, still be positive? Isn't that the case?
I think that is the case.
I mean, and so I don't know if you read anything about the Titans, what the NFL's investigating. They think it started with a coach who knew he was exposed but didn't let other people know.
Mm.
And that's, and again, like the NFL believes their protocols are safe, but it's just you've got to follow them to be safe.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think I heard somewhere that the players didn't want to go into some sort of modified bubble, right? Did I hear that correctly? That was a possibility?
For the NFL?
Yeah. But the players decided collectively it's not what they wanted to do? I mean, that's something that I'd heard. Listen, they're going to have a more difficult time than the NHL and the NBA had.
Right, because but let's just contained. Hope that these are the Marlins, yeah. And then there may be a Cardinals team here, and then they'll eventually figure it out, and then we'll be okay with the NFL.
Patriots have downgraded running back Sony Michel for tonight's game. He's now out. That game is still what? What is the number on that game? 10.5?
Yes.
I will say this to you. If the New England Patriots tonight in Kansas City beat the Chiefs, that will be arguably the most impressive regular season win in the last decade in the National Football League. To go, they got up this morning and flew this morning. They got to Kansas City, hanging out in their hotel for a little bit. You're going to the game. You're playing Brian Hoyer. They're the defending NFL champions. If Bill Belichick beats his team, beats the Chiefs tonight, I can argue that's probably the best regular season win in 10 years. I know I'm living in the moment.
No, I know what you're saying, too.
All right, when we come back, I got some nonsense, and of course, I have the nuttiest story of the day.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
You know what time it is? It's time for the nuttiest story of the day, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, here we go. I'm not sure how nutty this is, but creepy Silence of the Lambs house up for sale in Pennsylvania. Buffalo Bill's house from the iconic thriller Silence of the Lambs is up for grabs.
Great big fat person.
Lotion not included.
One of the most quoted lines in movie history.
Put that lotion in the basket. He loves, what does he say? He loves when you, I don't know.
Are you a great big fat person?
Do you know he was, he was a character in Ray Donovan as well. Same guy.
Buffalo
he's
Bill.
He's in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. He's an excellent
actor. I still say that to my wife. And she
put the lotion in the
basket? I'm sure you do.
Okay, I got a new entry for the nutty story of the day.
All right, tell us more about that.
Whenever she says, like, if we're in the bathroom and then we've got some moisturizer, can you pass the lotion? I put the lotion in the basket. It's just, it doesn't get old for me. I am
I
still say it.
Anyway, this Queen Anne-style home was used as the set in the 1991 film Classic, has been fully operational since then. It's on the market for $298,500. Most of the America has seen this house, but now you have a chance to buy it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it actually has that well. Or was that just a Hollywood thing? Remember they had the well in
the
basement.
Where
he
kept her in.
The basement, though dark and foreboding, does not include a hole with a well in a basket.
Okay, well, there's your answer.
Yeah, there it is. That was part of the soundstage.
The next line.
Great mystery.
Are you reading?
I was perusing it as I went along.
Let's
would
make
you
it
buy
more
a house? Let me ask you a question. Would you ever buy a house where somebody died in the home?
Not knowingly. Like, I mean,
really?
I'm sure it's bound to
happen. What if it wasn't a murder? It was nothing, you know, nefarious, but somebody just passed away in the house.
Like, of natural causes, maybe. But not like of some.
I've always wondered if that was something that you would do.
Yeah,
I got
Google?
A good deal for
don't
you.
Don't you Google?
Good deal. Like, do you think a house where someone may have been murdered is haunted?
See, I'm not a homeowner, but I would think that that's one of the things you Google. You Google the address, and then you try and figure out whether or not.
What if you could get that house for a great deal, though? You love the house, minus the blood stain in the foyer, but you can clean that up. Would you buy a house where somebody was murdered in it?
No, hell no. What about you guys?
What kind of murder?
Yeah,
I
mean,
MDK.
What do you mean, what kind of murder?
Yeah, Abdal makes a good point. What kind of murder?
What kind of murder?
Yeah, because if it's like something in the drink, like that's a different type of murder than like a slasher film, since we are in October and Halloween's right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's a different type.
So you're saying you can live with someone who was killed via like poisonous drink?
Well, I'm not living with them.
No, but you're like you could.
It's a very morbid conversation.
Do you believe in ghosts in houses?
How many were murdered?
Okay, you know my.
How many? Jeez.
Well, I mean, look, is it
one's enough, dude?
I mean, you just said how. Why can't I say how many?
Well, there's different cleanup.
Yeah, I'm thinking like this didn't happen Wednesday, and you're closing on Sunday. I mean, this is like this house has been there for
a
while.
Years ago.
Pull that money out of escrow.
I'm just saying, like you know, my daughter's boyfriend's house in New Jersey is, I believe, Amelia Earhart stayed there at one point. It used to be a bed and breakfast. They swear that there's like they can see. Ghosts.
Well, she didn't die there.
No, I know, but I'm just saying this was an old home where there, you know, I mean, it's been around for whatever. They swear, everyone that's ever lived in the house swear that they've actually not just heard, but seen images.
I mean, doesn't this happen all the time in like, retirement communities?
What?
No, doesn't it?
The like person who's moving in is moving into someone's
house.
Someone
who's
dying. Are you talking about dying in a house?
Yeah. Doesn't this happen all the time?
Like, if you're going to buy a house somewhere down in Florida, somewhere really nice, and you're like...
That's natural causes,
right.
Most likely.
Well, I mean, Donnie died on Wednesday. We're trying to sell the house.
I think this is a good... This led us to a good... Have you guys ever seen a ghost?
I have not.
Or been in the presence of
I don't. I don't think so.
I don't believe so. I have.
I've been in the presence of pretty pale dudes before.
Hey.
Well, hang out with me. I got you.
Okay, nice. Here's another house story for you quickly. Pablo Escobar's nephew found $20 million in cash stashed in a wall at one of the drug lord's Colombian houses.
That doesn't surprise you, does
it? Have you ever gone through your house and searched your entire house hoping that the previous owner had left something behind?
No, but every hotel room I stay in,
I look in the safe.
I look in the safe and I take the carpeting off. You know, the little...
Yeah, to check underneath.
Yeah, I check underneath there and I found money there before.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
The guy who had the house before where I'm there now is a pretty successful guy who did a lot of renovation and kind of left quickly. I'm not going to lie. I've gone through the house looking for stuff that maybe have been left there. And I found something. Do you know what I found? I found a United Airlines Global Services like DOP kit. That's all I found. Yeah.
Are you done with your stories?
Those little slippies?
Yeah.
Are you done with your stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is breaking news. Powered by PointsBet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Is this a good one?
If you had Texans GM and coach Bill O'Brien as the first coach to be fired, then you, sir, just cashed a ticket.
Wow, he's been fired.
I told you he can't coach nor can he GM. He's terrible.
Well, and now he's not doing either.
Yeah. Who's going to coach the team now? Who's going to GM?
Deshaun Watson. Step right up.
Well, I mean, like, how can you be...
They're 0-4,
Jason,
right?
Jason Lockenfora says expect
Can I finish?
Jason Lockenfora says expect Romeo Crennel.
Time out.
So expect someone else.
Is expecting who?
He expects Romeo Crennel, so I'm saying expect someone else.
Listen, got you guys with a joke after you guys tried to
but
joke.
But you guys are like, break breaker.
You're going to break that mic.
Okay, that story's not for air.
It's for us.
Yeah.
So did this really happen?
Shucker is reporting fired. Yes.
All right, then it's happened. Wow, that's it's not a wow because he stinks, like I said. All right, we'll react to that. We've got some Theo sound. Is Theo going to leave early? Could he leave in a matter of weeks from the Cubs? We'll play you his answer coming up in 2 short minutes.